Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. Unless it's your first time, then welcome to the show. Welcome to the community, if you will. I appreciate you stopping by, and we've got a great show for you today, so I think we should just cut to it and dive in. Let's do it. My guest today is a lady who knows how to hustle. After 2 years of side hustling as a second shooter, aka somebody who supports and helps a photographer, she went full-time into her business and created Soul Creations. With sheer will, determination, and as she calls it, working scrappy, she has transformed her side hustle into a destination wedding photography company. To get started, she started showing up in her community. She also niched down really far and found her audience and ran with it. Now, let's hack. Seneca Rohr. All right, so right before we get into the conversation with Seneca, I just want to take a moment because in this conversation, you're going to hear Seneca talk about the importance of financial prudence. Financial prudence and how that sort of related to her successes and the quickness or the speed at which she became full-time and successful. Financial prudence comes down to saving money. And if you're thinking about saving money this summer, why not start by paying less interest on your credit card balances? By refinancing with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars right now. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with autopay. The best part is my listeners, you, can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. But the only way to do that is to go to lightstream.com/hack. So just like it sounds, lightstream.com/hack. All right, and so due to the nature of this ad spot, as you can expect, there's a disclaimer. Normally these disclaimers are said really, really quickly. Let's not do that. The disclaimer says, subject to credit approval. Rates include 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for more information. All right, well, that's probably the slowest disclaimer ever, but let's get into the show, shall we? We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very special guest, Seneca. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. And I think we're going to have fun. So I'm glad you're here. And let's jump into it, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Seneca, you're a woman who wears many hats. But today we're talking to Seneca, the entrepreneur. So could you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That is a great question. So I know whatever industry a person might be in, whatever their skill or special talent that they can market is going to be, the one thing that across the board has been what's made my success possible so quickly and early on is financial prudence. So I know a lot of that's not a sexy term, I'll be honest. Knowing your numbers is not a great, fantastic topic, but it's so critical and has been what's made me be able to go from working a full-time job in a corporate life and doing wedding photography part-time to making wedding photography my literally replacing my corporate salary and my full-time job. And truly, that financial prudence has made it fully possible way, way earlier than the average wedding photographer ends up doing that because most of the time we're creatives and we don't think as a business owner and with a business mindset. And so that's definitely what I would say is the one in my industry and across the board has made a huge impact on my business and where it is.
So financial prudence, I'm assuming that comes from your personal life as well?
Yeah, it definitely does. So I married up in life, which is awesome. Before getting married, truly, I would say I knew a little bit about finances and budgeting. But after marrying my husband, who does finances for a living as well as accounting, I learned so much and will lovingly say it's exactly what I needed, that tough love type of stuff, to really make my dream a career. And everything from personal expenses really pulls over into business expenses, whether that's your personal habits, good habits or bad habits, will pull over when you are running your own business. And so to be able to lock in and start saving well as a married couple, so that right now we live like no one else lives, so later on we can live like no one else lives as well. That's something Dave Ramsey has said, and I'm a huge supporter of Dave Ramsey. So personally, that's where it then led very easily into business life, in honestly working scrappy, if that makes sense, being able to do a lot with a little and make that go a super long way and gain ground in areas that a lot of other people wouldn't have even thought of. Because at that point, I had a lot more time than money, and I was ready to hit the ground and work like I needed to in order to make it possible.
Working scrappy. I like that. I like that a lot. And so this is interesting. And so you've said that it's really sort of catapulted your success, and you talked about going from part-time to full-time. I don't know the photographer market like you do, but I'm going to guess that it's a very small fraction of people who get to actually do that, go from part-time to full-time, because I think you're right with the creative part and just they can't figure out the business side of it. But could you tell us, Sanika, like, just sort of give us the background, like, how long did you go part-time and at what point did you, like, realize that I could actually do this for a living?
Yeah. So it was about 2 years total that I was a part-time wedding photographer while working at my full-time job. I had done all types of photography in college, and when I got out, I was really deciding what is it that I want to do. And so it was right around that time that my husband and I also married. And so I'm definitely, I would say, a young buck in the industry. And that's also something that people look at and they're like, holy cow, how did she do that? And honestly, it was intentionality, because there was never enough time for anything. I mean, you're newly married, you are working a full-time job, generally 40 to 50 hours a week at a marketing agency. And on weekends, what, you want to do photography? How do you sleep? And honestly, I did that for about 2 years until I said to my husband, I can't do this anymore. Either I go full-time or this has got to go. Like, this is not a good life-work balance. And I just can't, that's not sustainable. It was around the fall of 2015 or 2016 where I truly decided, okay, let's make a go of this. And I am going to work like crazy. And so that's truly when, instead of just learning a lot and educating myself and practicing my craft and getting weddings where I could, I intentionally said, I'm doing this, and went at it like crazy from every angle you can possibly think of marketing-wise. Word of mouth, branding was already perfected by that time because I had decided who my ideal client was as well as my niche and what my offerings were going to be, and just made it happen. So it was about a 7-month period where I sold and sold and sold weddings, and like it was my second full-time job. And at the end of that 7-month period was when I had replaced my corporate salary. And it was truly like that dedication to intentionally using my time to make sales and further that as quickly as possible, because I was in a desperate place. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's either got to work, it's sink or swim, I guess, at that point. Uh-huh. So coming from the corporate world of marketing and then saying how you just went at it at all marketing sort of channels, which one sort of really was like the 80-20, the 80 that, or the 20% that got you the 80% of results, would you say?
Yeah, great question. So it was showing up in person exactly in the community that had my ideal client. So Soul Creations is honestly and fully a photography ministry for Protestant and Christian brides. That is the person we serve day in and day out. We pray with our brides. We help them journey to the aisle, both spiritually and practically. That is what we live for. We live and breathe it. And so knowing that that was my ideal client, and naturally that's who my ideal client would be because that's how my personality is too, I was showing up at young adult meetings where there were engaged couples at a lot of churches and a lot of Catholic parishes across where we're located, Indianapolis, and getting into community, into where that client was and getting my name known regionally. And that spurred a lot of quick action because people began to know me and then liked me and then were willing to trust me with their wedding day. So that was probably where the 80%, if you're thinking 80-20, came from. Mm-hmm.
And so showing up at events, like with business cards or just showing up and it eventually comes up?
Both kinds. So I always had business cards on me, but whenever I'd introduce myself to all these new people, I'd say, I'm a wedding photographer. And they'd say, no way, that's so cool, because that's a very cool thing to be able to say that you are. And so many times just from that, they would be like, oop, I know a wedding photographer now. And I'd have a business card if they wanted one, like, or I'd share about really what it was that my business was doing. Even though it was part-time, it was still completely legit and still serving an ideal client. So that's kind of how I showed up there.
And was it the marketing background that taught you the need to have an ideal client in mind?
It was that, as well as a lot of education. Just so much education. Like, for anyone listening to this podcast, kudos to you because you are 10 steps ahead of people who are not listening to educational podcasts. Like, all of the education that in the first years of photography and then in thinking about doing this full time that I absorbed came out. That is truly how it was. And many times it was from the marketing agency, but almost just as many times it was from all of the online education that I had consumed.
Well said. And was there ever an apprehension, though, that you were maybe like niching down too far and that your audience was just, your potential audience was too small?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I did have that fear. I absolutely did. But I thought to myself, if this is going to be something, this is what I want it to be. And so let's see. Let's just see if it works, sink or swim. And if it doesn't, everything's okay. Like, let's just see if we get the weddings. But honestly, it would be a similar niche if you're a wedding photographer who specializes in Indian weddings. Like, there, that might seem like a specific niche, but there are so many Indian weddings. There's so many. And to think about how many parishes or churches there are in a city and how many brides will walk down their aisles in 1 year, that's actually quite a large crowd, even though when I was first starting, it felt like there was not going to be anybody.
Right. And it's way more effective, like, for a potential client to identify with you if you identify to them and have actively like picked them out.
Absolutely. And you also are then specialized. So the Indian wedding photographer is a great example. I actually still have individuals who will call me and ask if I do Indian weddings. And I think to myself, my friend, have you seen my website? I definitely do not do Indian weddings. Let me point you to the person who is known for that, who is known in that circle and who is incredible at that work. So similar to being known as the go-to for Indian weddings, we've started to become known as the go-to for Catholic and Protestant weddings.
I love it. So you are a hard, scrappy worker. You've been hustling. You know how to market. You know how to niche down in your industry and sort of scale out the business really quickly to full-time. Sanika, can you tell me something that in this past couple of years that you found that you really aren't that good at in your business?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel like the more you have to be a business owner, the more you realize that you're only good at so many hats and you can't do it all. And you really, really shouldn't. So the one thing that I've realized in the past couple of years is that I love and I am great at shooting, but I am not so great and definitely not so patient at editing on the back end. And so in addition to editing, as well as a couple other pieces of like social media in our company, I have delegated and brought on team members to help me who are better than I am, so that I can surround myself with people who are going to push the company forward further than I personally can.
And is the goal to, for you to stop shooting?
Sort of.
Or is that not the goal? Like, it doesn't need to be. Yeah. And for some, lots of people, it's not. But I'm just wondering, like, if you have this, I'm wondering, I guess, how far your vision is going in front of you, that you're like seeing where this could go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love having that question, actually, because vision is going pretty far out from here. In addition to shooting, let's say last year I had 25 weddings and this year we had 17. My husband and I are expecting, which is really exciting. But as a woman who is also a business owner, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, now how does she do it all? Well, I'll be honest, she doesn't do it all. There's never doing it all in any season of life. And so in regards to shooting, my plan is to go down to maybe 10 weddings a year, or maybe 5, that'd be great. But to have a team so that the company can continue without me, because truly, instead of owning just a job, then I will be owning a business. And so we currently have one associate on the team, which is great, and she will be taking half of the weddings next year, and I'll be doing the other half. And that will also allow us to say yes to way more brides so that we can scale beyond what my personal time capacity is. Because it's strangely, many people who are a solopreneur don't think like this, but it's not about me, it's about the business growing. And I'm very comfortable saying, I can't do it all, let's get more people.
I love it, I love it. And congratulations on the new addition coming to the family. So at the beginning, you found your first customers by just going out there into the community, networking, and just becoming a known presence. How today, to continue to grow like this, how are you acquiring your customers today?
Yeah. So it's definitely changed since now we are a nationwide business, which is incredible. We actually have been connecting with a lot of organizations who help brides plan their weddings, who are specifically Catholic or Protestant. So there's wedding publications that we get featured in and that we write blogs for, as well as others that we partner with in regards to influencers on social media that have been getting the word out that there is someone and a company, not just someone, but a full company dedicated to ensuring that you are walking down the aisle with a vendor on your team. So the one publication I would say right now that has been giving us the most growth nationwide is Spoken Bride, and that is a Catholic wedding publication and blog online. And so we actually this year have branched out into weddings in Illinois and Ohio, way up in Wisconsin, way down in Tennessee, over on the East Coast, Cape Cod, different places like that, that we would definitely not have been in, say, 2 years ago when we were just looking inward and thinking regionally.
All right, Sinica, so I like the idea of like using Spoken Bride, I believe you said it was, and finding that that's a great channel for you. So if we could move to sort of like projects, because I think that's a good segue, and it might even sort of, the conversation might go back a bit to marketing as a project and determining sort of like, especially now, I mean, with the life change coming, that your time and your resources are going to become more and more limited, and yet you still want to grow the company. So therefore, determining what projects, whether it's a growth project or a marketing project or a new product you want to offer, is probably difficult for you as the person running it. So I would like to know, like, what is the process that you're going through today or that you see yourself going through in the very near future to determine that a project is going to be worth yours and now your team's time, energy, and resources?
Yeah. Yes, this is a great question. I, over the summer, actually had two interns, and they asked me the exact same question. How do I decide what I'm going to spend my time on? Like, what is the core value that I have that comes through in every decision that I make? And that is how it's impacting the bottom line. So if there is a new project or a new venture that I know will definitely be able to impact the bottom line in some way, then that is given a bit of a slight increase in my time and eyes on it. But I will say where the money is coming in, that's where my eyes are on the most. So let's say right now, one of the newest projects that we have started is actually online education for that new wedding photographer who's trying to go full time, and giving them resources in order to really be able to do that with a business mindset, because that's the key. And so I have been dedicating a lot of my personal time in order for that to grow and start really pulling through and pulling in back so that I can be able to have team members here and we can continue to grow the business further and past me. But still, I always think in the back of my head, I know that the one thing that is continuing to carry the business forward are weddings. And so how is it that we can market to get more? And that is a great question. Currently, we're looking into different marketing tactics, also in the Catholic and Protestant wedding sphere, like different radio shows and talk shows, as well as different publications and online blogs and some speaking opportunities in order to get the word out that the company is here. So there's kind of like a twofold where, yes, there's a new venture and that is good. And I spend time there because I know at one point that's going to bring back money to the bottom line, but also to continue getting our base stronger of weddings. Mm-hmm.
When you say at one point it'll bring money to the bottom line, to you, like, could that be 5 years out, or does that need to be 5 weeks out?
Oh, it's already happening now. So I would say to how quickly it grows. So there's different individuals who are already in the course and in our education, which is fantastic. But it's, in my eyes, a regional growth instead of a nationwide growth. And probably it'll go in a similar direction and time frame as the wedding photography took. So I would say in about 2 years, it would be to the point where we are right now with wedding photography.
Wow. How conscious was it of you to go like nationwide with the photography business?
It was a pretty intentional decision.
I've never actually heard of another photographer doing this. So
yeah, it was knowing that what I truly value as a person is having my weekends at home. And as a wedding photographer, you do not have weekends at home. I knew that if I wanted to grow a business, that it would have to be bigger than me. And to support something that's bigger than me, it would have to go beyond regional. And so when I came across marketing opportunities with publications who were right in my niche, and I could speak directly to my bride through blogs and featured weddings and anything else my heart could desire that I'd love to give them, then I knew, okay, this is absolutely perfect, because not only would that provide even more income, but allow for us to continue to expand and make it bigger than myself.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So if we're sitting here again, 1 year from today, Sanika, and you are back on the show, just like going off about all the success you have, what would it take for you to be excited about your successes?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say I'm on the uptick of excitement right now already. And for where things will be next year, I'm seeing and envisioning me being even more excited. The excitement level comes when I have another associate, when I have another person who is eager about the company and so excited to be on board, when there's more individuals than just me making everything run behind the scenes, because I love community. So when there's more people involved, and the more people that get involved and the larger that we grow, if that truly does happen by next time next year, because you can plan everything you want, but business sometimes has its own timeline.
Yes.
Honestly, things sometimes go slower than you anticipate just because of how business works. But that's where my excitement would come from, for sure, when I'm able to continue to hand off pieces of the business to individuals who are like, yes, all together we can make this grow, because it can't just be on my back. There's no way.
I love it. I love it. And I look forward to that. So, Sanika, this has been a super fun conversation that we've had. We've talked about Soul Creations Photography sort of throughout the conversation, but could you now specifically tell the listener what you guys do and where to find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. Soul Creations Photography is a company that fully services weddings only and engagements. We walk with brides both practically and spiritually on their journey to the aisle and ensure that they have a seamless experience the entire way through with Jesus at the center. And you can find us online at soulcreationsphotography.com. And in addition to serving brides, we also serve new wedding photographer entrepreneurs who are looking to do something similar in going full time and really cracking the code on doing that with a business mindset and doing that with actually the latest technology, which is fantastic. So if anyone's interested in that, they can also find information on all those educational resources at soulcreationsphotography.com too.
Excellent. So both businesses are there. So if you are a photographer or somebody interested in getting your wedding photographed, soulcreationsphotography.com is the website. I'll link to that in the show notes, as well as a few of the publications you talked about throughout. And then for social media, I know you're on LinkedIn for business. Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
Yes. So on Facebook, it's Soul Creations Photography, and not on Twitter, but we are on Instagram at Soul Creations Photo. And that is really where we pour in daily spiritual encouragement for our brides. So if that's of interest at all, that's a really great resource.
Very cool. So Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram is the recommended one from Sanika. So Sanika, once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us on the show. I really, truly appreciate you coming on and sharing so openly. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it really is awesome to watch.
Thank you so much. It was so great to be here.
Ooh, I really, really enjoyed that conversation. It went interesting places that I wasn't expecting it. I guess I like going into conversations not necessarily knowing where they need to end up. I mean, we follow somewhat of a structure, but they need to push to their own directions at times, and I'm glad that this conversation did. What I really liked about this is the hustle, the determination to turn what this job she didn't like into then working as a side hustle as well, and then into a full-time business. This is a proven process that works, and I've written it down into a tiny little like 4-page PDF for you, the 21 simple steps to launching a profitable online business. Seriously, I made it specifically for you, and it's completely free. Go to roadmaptofreedom.co. Grab your copy of the PDF. You're going to dig it. The response that I've had from it has been amazing so far, and it makes me really happy. But roadmaptofreedom.co gets your 21 steps to launching a profitable online business. And now that you've done that, it's time in the show where we have to go back. We have to go back through the conversation with Sanika, and we have to find the one thing that she said. I'm ready. Are you ready? All right, let's do this. Let's find the hack.
But whenever I'd introduce myself to all these new people, I'd say, I'm a wedding photographer. And they'd say, no way. That's so cool, because that's a very cool thing to be able to say that you are. And so many times just from that, they would be like, oop, I know a wedding photographer now. And I'd have a business card if they wanted one. Like, or I'd share about really what it was that my business was doing. Even though it was part-time, it was still completely legit and still serving an ideal client.
And that's the hack. Sanika, Sanika, Sanika. I love this. I really, really love this. For there's several reasons. I don't even know the count. Maybe there's two. Maybe there's three. You can keep count for me. This idea of, hi, I'm a wedding photographer. So she went out and hustled, right? She went networking events in her town, like any of us can do. She said, "Hi, I'm a wedding photographer." Boldly. Lots of us, I think we're afraid. We're afraid to even say that. Like it's going to come across odd or strange or pushy. Here's a little secret. To be in business, you have to sell. If you don't sell, you're not in business. There's this, just this, an idea of saying this and being forthwith with the idea that you are in business and that you do something, a service or a product in exchange for money. It's an exchange of value. That's what business is. I love the basic sort of tenet of this, where she would just willingly go up and then, "Here's a business card if you wish." So I've got some sort of apprehensions about business cards. It is 2018, but I mean, I can't argue with her. It works for her. It works in certain markets. As I mean, if you're selling software, maybe not so much, unless it's like enterprise or something, but that's not it necessarily. It's the idea of just at least putting it out there that this is what it is and then sharing and talking about it. And this mindset, this is the other thing. This mindset that I think a lot of us fall into, where it's just a side hustle. It's just on the side. It's this small idea that I wish could turn into something, but it's not that important. It's not worth bringing up because it's not real, because I don't do it full time. The reason why most of us don't get to do it full time is because we don't take it full time serious, even when it is part time. I love that Seneca is like, this is legit. This is a real thing because I'm serving an ideal client. I have a service that serves an ideal client. That's it. The exchange of value. She's created a business. All she needed to do was go out and shake enough hands, give out enough business cards, and tell people enough times that she was a wedding photographer for this ideal client. And she got to scale from side hustle to full-time business. I absolutely love it. Seneca, thank you so very, very, very much. Whew. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that? Yeah, it was good. Seneca, smart lady. I love the hustle. It's infectious. And I think sometimes it's good to have that because it kind of gives you that kick in the ass that you might need. All right. I love it. You're inspired. I'm inspired. But you're inspired. And now all you need is that 21 steps to starting an online business. It's free. It's simple. It's 4 or 5 pages. And it literally lays out every single step you need to take from now till the end. Roadmaptofreedom.co. It's there for you. Go there now. And right before you do, I guess we should just say bye. It's been fun. I thank you so much for stopping by. There's a lot of podcasts out there right now, and it's really cool that you took the time to hang out here. You can always reach me if you wish. There's a contact form on the website. Yeah, there's actually a spot where you can reach Johnny if you wish, or you can track down my email. By being on the email list, hit reply, anything you'd like. All right. I do thank you so much, and yeah, I don't know. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.